and welcome to another edition of the Gobeski Wallace Report. My name is Charlie Wallace.
And I'm Adam Gobeski, and we have with us a very special guest host who will also introduce the contestants. We have Brianne Gobeski.
Hello. Since we've already met Adam and Charlie.
Hello.
Hi.
We also have Paul Wilcox.
Great to be here.
Doug Gobeski.
Thanks for having me.
Tony Huff.
Hey, how's it going?
And Kevin, I don't know your last name.
I was kind of curious what you were going to do with that. But yes, I am also here. Kevin Bredevoet.
There we go. And we are here to play a game that I have lovingly called, well, technically. This is a trivia game that has to do with a lot of pop culture references. It is a loving homage to a television show that I have started to watch on Dropout, but I do have a disclaimer that if anything seems similar to the show, this is an homage, and it is not because I am trying to steal any ideas. And if any questions are similar to ones, then that is by pure coincidence.
So you're saying we're legally distinct?
Yeah, I hope so. I have tried very hard to separate what we're doing here from what they do on their show, even though it looks very similar.
Dr. Mordred was fine, so I think we'll be fine.
Oh, man, I hope there's a Dr. Mordred question.
You never know.
You're right.
So the way this game is going to work is that I will give a fact about a specific fandom. One part of that fact will be incorrect, and it will be the contestant's job to figure out what is wrong. For the listener to understand, we've got a buzzer system hooked up. So as people buzz in, when I unlock the buzzer after I read the question, I will go by who buzzed in first. If they don't have the right answer, then we will move to the next one.
Is it Jeopardy rules where we have to wait till the question is finished before you unlock the buzzer?
Yes. Since okay. I'm going to unlock the buzzers, I will read the question. When I am done reading the question, I will unlock the buzzer. So you guys can button mash if you want, and whichever one gets in first, once it gets unlocked, that do to that as you will. The other thing is every answer has to be prefaced with, well, technically.
Point of order. I think we should call this point of order.
Well, technically, it's my game, and we're going to say, well, technically.
I have questions. Sorry. Well, technically, I have questions.
There we go.
Okay.
If we get a thing wrong, do we lose points?
Oh, that's a good question. No. No, you do not.
Okay. And if
so that encourages us to make jokes.
Yes.
If we win, what sort of fabulous prizes do you have in store for us?
You get to stay at Charlie's house.
I wouldn't turn you away.
Wait, does Charlie have to win this to continue living in his house?
Or... Oh, no.
No pressure.
Back to the garage for him.
The stakes are high for one person and one person only.
You get to come to California and only watch Heated Rivalry and play Civilization.
No, he doesn't need a vacation.
I like that the rules of your house are you have to do only Tony thing.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay.
Ready.
Okay, the first question is about Harry Potter. A wizard giving a house elf clothes is a way to set them free. But within the culture of most house elves, it is considered a shameful insult. While Dobby loved his freedom, the other Hogwarts elves found Luna's attempt to free them by hiding wool hats under rubbish to be incredibly rude and offensive. You may now buzz. Whoa, Kevin, you are first.
Well, technically, it was Hermione doing that, not Luna.
That is correct. Yes, Hermione was hiding the wool hats in the Gryffindor common room, not Luna, who's actually Ravenclaw.
Well, technically, isn't it pronounced Dobby, not Dobby?
Oh, good.
Oh.
Well, technically, Adam, it's Dottie.
Dottie's a house elf?
I mean, there are some pictures where she kind of looks like Dottie.
Well, technically, aren't these words on a written page and nobody can tell us how to pronounce them?
Well, technically, there are movies that tell you how to pronounce it.
Well, technically, that's an interpretation of the way that the words are spoken.
Well, technically, you didn't say it was the book specifically, so I want my book.
It's a little early in the game for things to have gotten this contentious about the existence of language.
Well, leave it to Adam, language.
Well, the great thing is that this is my show, and no, you're not getting points for that.
One quick question.
You got to say, well, technically.
Yeah.
No, not when he asks the question.
Technically, I already heard way too many well technicallys, and we already wore out that bit. So
that's the whole game. Well, technically, that's the whole game.
So, well, technically, my question is, I have to provide the actual fact, too, to replace the wrong one?
You don't have to. If you do and you know it, it just means that it's less likely for someone to, like, have a better answer than you. But you don't have to. If you think you know it's wrong, but you don't know why, how to correct it, and someone else knows more, they may get the point.
Oh, I see. So they could take the point by being more technically right.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Are we ready for question two?
Sure.
Okay. It's a question about Doctor Who.
Wait patiently for Adam to answer, and then...
Yeah, exactly.
I really did try to make these questions so Adam wouldn't just run away with everything.
Let's just hear the question. No. Just like in actual trivia, when it's Doctor Who, everyone just kind of, all right, I guess I'll go to the bathroom now.
There's a reason why this is in the first segment of this, so that we get it out of the way.
Nothing beats that time you were reading trivia questions and it was a Doctor Who question, and I came up with the answer while you're repeating it, grinning, and you started laughing while you were repeating the answer. Because I was just standing there with a big eating grin on my face.
Was it? I think it was like a tougher question too. That's why you were happy.
Yeah.
You're like, no one's getting this.
They finally went for the deep cut.
It's not those all right blinking angels anymore.
Okay, the Doctor Who question. The Doctor stole a TARDIS with his granddaughter Susan from a repair shop on Gallifrey. It is later discovered that the Doctor failed the driving test to pilot a TARDIS and threw the instruction manual into a black hole because he disagreed with it.
Oh, Adam.
Yes, Adam.
Well, technically it's not a driving test.
That is not what I have here.
Well, technically...
Oh, Doug?
He references a bunch of manuals, or at least Romana does, when she's around, so I don't think he threw it into a black hole.
You stumbled onto the thing that is wrong, but do you know why? And Tony's got his... Tony was next, so Doug, do you know why? Or do you know the difference? Like, what was wrong?
Nope.
Okay, Tony?
Pass.
You have
pass?
To say, well, technically.
Pass. Because I was going to say, well, technically, it's forever. Not the Gallifrey or whatever. It's Kaplarbenploop or something. Just to try to throw something out there. But you
are. There you go.
It was wrong. So, or that.
Charlie.
Well, technically, he didn't throw it in a black hole. He put it in a trash can and burned it.
That's a good guess, but no.
Okay.
Yes, good guess.
Anyone else want to give another shot? Do they think they know? Okay. Well, Doug, I'm going to give you the point for knowing it, or for figuring out what was wrong. What actually happened is he threw the instruction manual into a supernova, not a black hole.
I'll take it.
Yeah. He didn't throw the instruction manual into a black hole. So that's why you get the point. All right. Next question. This one is about Frasier.
Oh God! I gotta get it right.
Now you know how I feel.
The pressure makes it worse. Yeah.
In front of you, and I don't like this feeling.
All right. One of the most notable continuity issues between Cheers and its spin-off Frasier involves the backstory of Dr. Frasier Crane's father. In Cheers, Frasier mentions that his father is deceased and had been a research scientist. However, in Frasier, Martin Crane is very much alive and portrayed as a retired police officer. This contradiction is humorously addressed when Woody Harrelson reprises his role as Woody Boyd from Cheers and confronts Frasier about the conflicting story, prompting Frasier to admit he fabricated the details during his time in Boston. Buzzers are unlocked. Oh,
well, technically... the character's name's not Woody Boyd. That's all I got.
That is not what is incorrect.
Oh, okay then.
I mean, it's kind of, you're close, but it's not quite.
I had absolutely nothing to go off of, so.
Okay, you're close, but not quite there. Adam.
Dang.
Well, technically, it's not Woody Harrelson's character who visits.
Okay. Do you know who is the character that visits?
No.
Okay. Charlie, do you know?
Well, technically, it's not Woody Harrelson's character that visits. It's Ted Danson's character who visits Sam.
That is correct. Yes. Oh, so Tony, right. Yes.
That was
so it was a guess, but a good guess.
That was tough.
I feel better though.
Well, it's like because everything is like is real. Like it's all in the episode. Yeah, that's tough.
So that was why I was like, okay, if I'm going to put a Frasier question in, I want to make sure that it's like not obvious.
All right, who's next to get humiliated?
Yay!
I don't think it's humiliation.
No, but that
means I don't know that I'd agree.
I think he means it in the just simply humbled sense.
Yes. It's when Ted Danson reprises his role as Sam Malone in the episode called The Show Where Sam Shows Up.
Yeah, no, I know the episode. Woody's also in an episode and they do bring up like him being there. So it was throwing my head through a loop.
Well, then I constructed the question appropriately then. Because that's the point.
I think I've learned that too much knowledge can hurt us.
Yeah.
All right. The next question is about Attack on Titan. The Nine Titans are the legendary shifter powers that originated from Ymir Fritz. After her death, her soul was split into nine distinct forms: the Founding Titan, Attack Titan, Colossus Titan, Armored Titan, Female Titan, Beast Titan, Jaw Titan, Cosmic Titan, and Warhammer Titan. Ah, Adam.
Technically, I only saw season one, so that was a huge spoiler.
and it's well technically. Not un-technically.
Oh, sorry.
Before I answer, can I ask that the question be repeated, or is that not allowed? I don't know that we covered that at the beginning.
I think so.
I would love to hear that question one more time. If not, I will go for it. But
I say just goes for it.
I'm happy to go for it. Okay. In which case, it would be, well, technically, it's not the Cosmic Titan. It's the Cart Titan.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Thank you very much.
The Cart Titan is known for its stamina. I learned that when I was researching these questions.
They're all creepy, and that's one of the creepier ones for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that brings us to our first variant question. These are like comic book variants. They look a little bit different, but cost exactly the same amount. So,
unless your local comic shop is jacking up the prices on variant covers, in which case they go out of business. So I won't say their name, but they know who they are.
You were there a couple of days ago, weren't you?
No, they're Samurai Comics. They're fine. No worries. I bought a variant cover for cover price. It was great.
All right. So the way that this one's going to work, I am going to give an audio clip that is going to be placed into Discord. This game is called Roar You Scared, and you will hear six different monster sounds, and you will need to name which monster these come from. I will give you the list of the monsters. You will need to match the monster with the sounds. And those, like, there's six in a row on the audio clip. You do not have to buzz on this one. We'll just kind of go around, and the one that has the most correct wins the point.
Got it.
Okay, so here are the possibilities: Death Angels, Dilophosaurus, Godzilla, Predator, Kraken, or Tripod.
Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Number 6.
Let's just go around the room. Charlie, do you want to start and just say what you think the order of them are? And I will let you know how many.
All right.
Or I won't let you know how many you get right until.
All right. I got one. Okay. 1, Kraken. 2, Dilophosaurus. 3, Death Angels. 4, Godzilla. 5, Tripod. And 6, Predator.
Okay. And Paul?
I had 1, Predator. 2, Kraken. 3, Dilophosaurus. 4, Godzilla. 5 Death Angels, and 6 Tripod.
Okay. Doug?
I had 1 Dilophosaurus, 2 Predator, 3 Godzilla, 4 Kraken, 5 Tripod, and 6 Death Angels.
Okay. Adam?
1 Predator, 2 Tripod, 3 Dilophosaurus, 4 Godzilla, 5 Kraken, which I don't know what it's from, and 6 Death Angels, which I have no idea what that is.
All right, Kevin.
1 Death Angels, 2 Predator, 3 Dilophosaurus, 4 Godzilla, 5 Tripod, 6 Kraken.
Okay, and Tony.
I had 1 Predator, 2 Tripod, 3 Kraken, 4 Godzilla, 5 Death Angels, and 6 Dilophosaurus. And I think I really only knew one.
Which one did you know?
All right.
We're about to all find out if we knew.
Right, but which one did you think you knew?
The one I thought I knew was Godzilla.
Okay. Yeah, when Paul said Godzilla was 4, I was like,
woo! Yeah.
Hold on, what?
Oh, when you said 4 was Godzilla, I got excited because
yeah, same.
At least to get one right.
I freaked out. I that would have been my humiliation moment.
All right, so Doug got 1 correct. Paul, Adam, and Tony got 2 correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oops, sorry, I'm not supposed to.
Kevin got 3, and Charlie won the point for 4.
Good job.
Wow. Charlie.
That's good.
You know what? Nice. It's because he stopped the podcast.
And yep. He looked them all up.
Cheater, yeah. Cheater.
Frequency analysis, cross-referencing. Yeah. Yep.
Charlie uses AI. We hung out with Shannon Ganta. I know this about him now.
So, Brianne,
you do
for
too.
The listener, I think you need to tell what the answers are.
Yes, I will. I was waiting for everybody to stop. Okay, so number 1 was Predator. Number 2 was Dilophosaurus from Jurassic Park. 3 was Death Angels from A Quiet Place.
Oh, I never saw that.
4 was Godzilla, and that was the 1964 Godzilla.
Yeah.
Number 5 was Tripod from War of the Worlds.
Which one?
The remake, the recent one with Tom Cruise.
With Ice Cube?
Yes.
I forgot that existed. And that came out like less than a year ago, right?
That was a couple months ago.
And then number 6 was Kraken from Clash of Titans.
Clash of the Titans, oh, nice. Okay.
Nice. Yes. So,
which Clash of the Titans? As long as we're asking versions.
Clash of Titans. It looked
new
modern.
Or old. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
New. It was CGI.
Was Sam Worthington in it?
I don't know. I just
so then,
found.
Yeah, the new one.
Yeah. Okay. Great job.
Because we didn't say well technically before our each
individual
answer.
Yeah. Bust us all down to 0.
Yeah. No. That for those variant questions, you don't have to say well technically because those are a little different.
Brianne.
So yes, Tony.
Before we move on, can I share a shenanigans memory?
Yes.
Okay.
So when you brought this up, I got really excited because I think it may have been the second shenaniganza. Paul got really into Godzilla and we found a soundboard of all of the Godzilla noises. And I just remember playing some board game that was like, do you remember the board game, Adam?
It might have been Rampage or it might have been King of Tokyo, maybe.
King of Tokyo.
I think it was King of Tokyo.
Seems like it would be King of Tokyo.
And every time Paul would like take things down, he'd be like, Godzilla!
That's, oh my gosh, yes.
And then Adam, you like, was that your fake team that you made trivia to? Which was like Godzilla's roar.
Yeah.
I actually forgot about that one too.
Wait, was that a fake team? I think that may have been the team name you chose and you were yelling at me like, no, you have to make the sound.
You have to say Godzilla's roar.
You gotta make it sound, because we went to one of Adam's trivia shows and played.
I think now it is time for a word from our sponsors. So I'm going to give this to Adam.
All right. So this is from our sponsor, Lay's, I hope. This is a taste test of the limited time flavor, salted caramel, flavored with other natural flavors, potato chips. On the back, it says, unwrap holiday snacks, salty, sweet, crispy, delicious. No artificial flavors. So I'll try it. Oh, wow, it smells like caramel. Not good caramel. It smells like those Kraft caramels that we ate at that meeting, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let me try one. Hold on. Yeah, that's really good, actually.
No, okay.
Well, I was not expecting that. Yeah, like...
Has that ever happened, ever?
I know, right? Like, the sweetness of the caramel is offset by the saltiness of the potato chip, and I assume the salted part of the caramel. But it's not overly salty the way I often find salted caramel to be. So, no, that's actually really enjoyable. So, thanks, Lay's. Now you can give us money.
Now that we've said that we've actually liked something that you've made.
It only took, like, a couple dozen. Once every couple dozen bags.
All right, back to the show.
Now, I'll real quickly go over the scores. We have Charlie with 2 points, Doug with 1 point, Kevin with 2 points, and Adam, Paul, and Tony are still in it.
Wait, did we not get points from
I
the...
Didn't get a point for...
We didn't get any points for the variant?
Only the person got the most correct got the 1 point.
Oh, all right, all right.
Yep. I'm playing by the same rules-ish as the my loving homage to game show, and that is how they do it.
All right, no, that's fine. All right, well,
all you tryhards were, you know, just kind of wasted your effort on that sound one.
Except for Charlie, we should have just done pure random guesses like Charlie.
Exactly. Works for me.
The next question is about Wicked the musical. Wicked the musical provides origin stories for several characters from The Wizard of Oz, including the Tin Man, a munchkin named Bok, whose heart is shrunk by a spell, the Scarecrow, a winky prince named Fiero, who is transformed to save him from being tortured, and the Cowardly Lion, a lion cub named Magnus, who Elphaba rescues from a cruel school experiment.
Yep, sorry. Well, technically, the lion's cub is named Burr.
Is he named Burr? I didn't think he had a name, but
in the book, it's Burr, B-R-R-R-R.
Okay.
I don't actually recall for sure if the musical states that, but canonically, Burr.
I will give that to you because I have a feeling nobody else is going to be able to get any closer to it than that. But yes, I didn't realize he actually had a name. I just realized he was not named Magnus.
Do I get double points for knowing more than that? Okay, just checking.
You get a special pat on the back for really knowing you're Wicked.
I will treasure it forever.
You know what's good? You know what's good when you're just listening to the question and you're like, yeah, this is all true. I was like, this all makes sense.
Yeah, this game is just Brienne recites trivia facts to me.
Are there any that are totally true just to be a trick?
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
It's like, this entire test can't be all C. Like, the teacher wouldn't do
Yeah.
That.
So how come no one else gets to guess?
Because he got it right.
Because he got it right.
What's that have to do with anything?
Okay, well, do you want to say anything else? You can guess now if you want to say something different.
Well, technically, munchkins don't exist in Wicked.
Nice try. Hobbits. Yes, they do. They are not. All right, that is fair.
Our answer.
I should leave this open for any sort of additional comments you want to make.
No.
Question. No, it's a fair point. Okay, are we ready to move on?
Wait. You just said that him calling the munchkins hobbits was a fair point.
That's right. I'm on the board.
No, you're not.
Seems like nepotism.
A point's a point.
I would like to present some alternative facts, please.
Yeah, that's in a different timeline.
Oh, man. I don't think I'm ready for that.
nothing's real and we all make each other go insane. Just like
yeah.
I think that's called Top That.
Oh, geez.
No, that's a game they play in Heated Rivalry.
Oh. Oh. See, that's the, you know, is that worth a point?
You know what? The substitute teacher would have given me points for that.
You are absolutely right. They would have. I will not.
You're the real teacher.
I'm the real teacher. All right. The next question is about Mad Max. The title Mad Max refers specifically to Max Rockatansky's psychological break at the end of the first movie. After a ruthless biker gang murders his wife, Jessie, and their infant daughter, Sprague, Max abandons his moral code as a police officer and hunts down the gang in a mad rage of cold-blooded revenge. Whoa. Hi, Tony. Yes, Tony.
Well, actually, her name isn't Sprague. It's Janice.
That is not correct, but good try.
Except with such Charlie. Confidence.
I know.
But did I say actually? I meant, well, technically, sorry. I meant to say, well, technically.
Yeah, you went the other way.
Well, technically, a rampage wouldn't be cold-blooded if you had such a good reason. That's hot-blooded.
Oh, good point. Not what I was going for, though.
That's a red ball, if you will.
But that's a very good point. Who's next? Adam.
Well, technically, it's not his daughter. It's his son.
That is correct.
Yes, I'm on the board.
Nice.
That was a guess.
I was close.
Yeah. Yes, it was. It's still named Sprague, but it was the infant son.
Well, technically, I was close. I should have. Damn it.
Oh. Oh, and I did forget to mention this. If someone doesn't say "well, technically," and someone else catches it, they can just jump in and say it, and they can steal the point.
Oh wow!
So no need to buzz if that's the case. We haven't had that situation yet because everybody's been playing by the rules, except
we just shout in if someone doesn't "well, technically."
Yeah. Sure, that sounds good.
I love this idea. That. Okay, I'm all about it.
All right.
Do you love them as much as the salty sweetness of Lay's salted caramel potato chips?
Adam, I thought we were doing no free ads.
All right. Reset. The next question is about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The series follows Buffy Summers, a teenage girl who is the Slayer, the one girl in her generation chosen by fate to possess the strength and intuition necessary to fight vampires and demons. After burning down her previous school's gym, Buffy moves to Sunnydale, California, along with her mother, Joyce, and her younger sister, Dawn, hoping for a fresh start. Oh.
Ah.
Adam.
Well, technically, she moves to Sunnyvale, not Sunnydale.
Nice try. No, that is not correct.
Really? I thought that was it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No, it's Sunnydale.
Sunnydale is based off of Sunnyvale, which is a real place.
Yes.
Look, in the universe I came from, it's reversed.
All right, Charlie.
Well, technically, Dawn doesn't exist at the time she moves there. She comes into existence later.
Your kids aren't going to listen to this. You can explain how it happens.
She apparates from nothing.
Without spoiling it, yes, you are correct, yes. And I realize that this is a massive spoiler for anybody, any of the listeners who might...
Statute of limitations, I think we're okay.
Anybody else want to comment before I give the full answer?
Do you want to know how far Sunnyvale is away from where I am right now?
No.
More than anything.
Like 63 miles.
Really?
Yes, yeah, so north of me. It's just north of San Jose.
I would have pegged it for down south, you know?
So you live very close to the Hellmouth.
Paul's pegging things.
Told you that.
Yeah.
He must be watching Heated Rivalry.
You know what? I do have a "well, technically" to throw out there. I don't know.
All right.
You said that, well, technically, Buffy's not the only Slayer of her generation. There are, even in the series, multiple other Slayers that appear, though, even as I'm saying that out loud, and maybe on technicalities that those Slayers appear.
So, when
she keeps
the
fake
series,
dying or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, when the series starts in the first season until the very last episode of the first season, Buffy is the only Slayer. Okay. When she does end up dying at the end of the first season, but then she's brought back to life. When she dies, that triggered the start of the next Slayer.
And Kendra, so technically dying, then, is that when Faith popped up?
Yes, because then Kendra was the one that popped up, and then Kendra dies, and then Faith takes, that's when Faith pops up.
Damn, I'm these all caught up.
Tests are hard.
What about Angel? When did this come in?
He was there from the beginning. Oh my gosh. Angel, I think it's the superior series. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm glad someone else agrees with this. And by the way, Doyle should never have, they should have kept Doyle.
Let's didn't know what to do with Doyle. Oh.
Is there something like more technically about this somebody could get right? Is that what we're going for here?
Nope.
Keep moving? Shooting the Buffy the Vampire Slayer lore.
We're just standing.
When you went on to Kevin, I was like, oh, I thought I got it okay, but maybe
no,
there's more
Charlie,
to it.
You got the point. Right. So Dawn Summers appears in season 5. While the characters act like Dawn has always been there, the audience knows that she's a new addition to the storyline. And personally, I think the worst decision they could have made. But that's beside the point.
No editorializing.
Fine. Next question.
I came so close to buzzing.
I got it.
In a moment of weakness.
Yes. Yeah. Put a buzzer in front of me. I'll follow.
All right. The next question is about Star Trek.
Good luck, Adam.
Gotta fight Kevin.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Episode First Contact, I'm not going to do well because Doug just watched it.
Oh. In the Genesis episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, the crew undergoes rapid de-evolution due to a retrovirus, turning into various ancestral forms, including Counselor Troy into an amphibian, Lieutenant Barclay into a spider, Dr. Crusher into an owl, Captain Picard into a lemur, and Spot, Data's cat, into an iguana. Okay, Adam.
Technically, Beverly Crusher doesn't turn into whatever you said.
That is correct. You know what happens to Beverly Crusher. She does not turn into an owl. That is correct.
I'm not going to say, because I don't want Kevin to steal my point.
Or I got nothing on this. Doug is the only chance of stealing from you right now.
Oh, good.
Okay. Doug, do you have information on what happens to Crusher?
Well, technically, Crusher turns into a cave woman.
That is not correct.
That's Riker, who turns into the caveman.
And there's another woman that turns into a cavewoman, but that is not Beverly Crusher. Good guess, though.
Oh.
Someone has to insert the, that's false. That's not true.
I made it up.
Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Anybody else want to take a guess? Charlie.
technically, Beverly Crusher turns into some sort of mammal. Is that more technically correct?
Technically, she's already a mammal, so she can't turn into a mammal.
She could turn into a different mammal.
You didn't say that.
You didn't say
that.
What
is turning into something anyway? just turned into a mammal from the mammal I was 2 seconds ago.
I retract. I don't need a point for this.
I'll get a point for that. Because you're not correct.
Fair.
All right, Adam, unless someone else can come up with something, I'll give you the point.
Does nothing happen
Tony.
To her? She's able to save the crew.
Well, technically, she turns into an eagle.
Ooh, no.
Oh,
Adam, I'll give you the point. She actually gets poisoned by Worf, who turns into a prehistoric like Klingon and like shoots venom in her face. But she does not turn into anything. She does get poisoned, but she does end up getting like petrified by Worf.
But what is Barclay's genetic heritage that causes him to regress into a spider?
It's a spider.
Yeah, I don't like that episode because of that. I don't like the big spider half Barclay.
Oh,
now is that just because it's a big spider, or because why would a guy be descended from a spider?
More the first one, although the second obviously is still in there.
I think what got me is that
was a Peter Parker.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I think when I was reading about that episode, the thing that got me was that Data's cat Spot turns into iguana, but then gives babies and they're all kittens. And that's how they figure out that the embryonic fluids saves them from being turned by this retrovirus, which I found very weird.
It makes perfect sense to me. What's the problem?
Was this like a season 7 episode or like a season 1 episode?
Genesis is pretty late. I don't know if it's full season 7, but it's definitely later on in the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nope, must have blocked that one out.
On that note, let's hear another word from our sponsors.
Thanks, Brienne. This is a Reese's Sugar Cookie Big Cup. Milk chocolate and peanut butter stuffed with sugar cookie bites. King size. So there's two of them. So double the chance it's bad. It is, looks like a standard big cup, but it's got some lumps in it. At least it's fresh looking. I'm not sure I got any sugar cookie in that first bite. Let me try again. I don't understand Reese's obsession with trying to make a crunchy peanut butter cup. Like, I don't get why.
Oh, so it's not soft sugar cookie?
No, it's like a hard crunchy thing.
Oh.
And it, as a Reese's peanut butter cup, it's fine. The sugar cookie doesn't add anything except crunch. So I guess if you want crunch, so.
So it sounds like Reese's may not be a sponsor for this show.
No, a much better sweet crunch is Lay's salted caramel potato chips. It's a limited time flavor, so you should go now.
All right. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. At the end of round 2, we have Adam with 2 points, Charlie with 3 points, Kevin with 3 points, Doug with 1 point, and Paul and Tony are still in it.
All right. We need to throw the game to Kevin so that Charlie has to move out of his own house. Okay.
Well, that might happen on this one. So this next category is about heated rivalry.
Come on. You're such a liar.
I meant to watch it. I had to work up until today. I don't have to work tomorrow. I can't watch
it yet.
Kids, entertain yourselves. I'm watching Heated Rivalry.
And I'm really... It's a family show.
Yeah, watch it with me, kids.
Is this real? Are you real?
Yes.
All right, now I'm actually nervous.
I'm hoping that, again, knowing that I haven't seen the show, let's hope that it's not full of, well, technicallys.
When the gremlin Mephistopheles appears in episode 3, yeah.
When all the right. character Zephilus told us.
All right. Heated Rivalry follows a decade-long secret relationship between NHL superstars Shane Hollander, a Canadian who plays for Montreal, and Ilya Rozanov, a Russian who plays for Toronto. On the ice, these two are the faces of a massive league-wide rivalry, while off the ice, they have a secret connection that turns into a deep, desperate love neither is willing to admit for years. Whoa!
The trick is to start tapping frantically as soon as you hear the problem. That's what's been working for me, at least. Actually... Ilya plays for...
No.
Well, technically, Ilya plays for Boston.
Anybody else want to comment on that, Tony?
It's Adam's next.
Adam, want to comment?
Well, technically, Scott and Kip.
He's not wrong.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Well, technically, it's not a decade long. It's 8 years.
Oh, that is the book? Apparently, I got a lot of this fact from the book, so I'm not quite sure. But I am willing to, if it is 8 years, I'm willing to also concede that point also to Tony as well.
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine. Do I still get a point in this scenario?
Yes, you do.
Absolutely.
But do we
points all around?
Technically,
so I get a point.
The Montreal Metros, no. And technically, it's the Boston Bruins.
I was so worried that I was going to need to know the actual team name, but the city that I had.
Points all around to two people specifically.
Correct.
Almost everybody on the board.
Point to Paul.
You made us feel good about Godzilla, Paul.
Avatar.
Yeah. All right. Our next question is about Legend of Zelda. While the hero and princess are legendary figures, Shigeru Miyamoto was inspired by two individuals while naming the main characters in the game. Zelda Fitzgerald, the wife of the Great Gatsby author F. Scott Fitzgerald, and Link Deas, a character from the book To Kill a Mockingbird. And I am unlocking. Oh, Adam, go ahead.
Well, technically, Miyamoto was not inspired by Link, whatever you said, from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay. Do you know what he was inspired by?
He was inspired by creating a link to the player.
True. That was for the name. Do you know also the character? Paul, do you have any other information?
Well, technically, yeah, that's what I was thinking. That Link serves as a stand-in for the player. Therefore, he's called Link. You know.
That is, yes, you're both correct. Adam, I think, got it.
You will.
Since Adam buzzed in first, I think I'm going to give him the point. Link was also,
wait,
he wasn't really named
other
after.
People are buzzed in.
Okay, Kevin, what would you like to say?
No, well, technically, I had nothing to say beyond what all they have already said. So
okay.
So what Chatley
and
has.
Chatley.
Well, technically, Link was Brendan Fraser's character from Encino Man.
A movie that came out after The Legend of Zelda, I would like to point out. Well, technically.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yes, you guys are correct. His image was inspired by...
Who gets a point on this? Is Chatley getting a point on this?
Yes.
No. I would say... I think Adam basically said the same thing that Paul did. And since Adam... But the,
no,
I have
Paul
a problem.
I was going to say basically the same thing Adam did. Yeah, I think that's true.
I was conceding
okay.
the point. Like the...
That would be, that'd be such a good way to get a point. It's like, the way he said
it. I concur.
And you shouldn't have gone to me, so I win.
That's actually what there should be, like, at the beginning, you get three nope I do's, like, and then someone just gets to say, nope, I get your point.
So Tony over there, chaotic neutral.
I'm really into nope I do's now.
Yeah.
My favorite kind of improv, no but.
Yeah.
No but. Counterpoint, I win.
I'm going to give the point to Adam. Another thing that I read was that Link's image was inspired, however, by Peter Pan, by Disney's Peter Pan. Yeah, had someone had also said that, I probably would have also given them a point. But you guys are...
It's the actual character design, like the
right. But the name was, you are correct with the name. Okay.
I like when Link turns into Blunk.
Lunk alarm.
He's no longer a Link. He's a Lunk.
All right.
I've been drinking, so you guys got to keep up.
You just started.
All right.
I said been drinking.
Okay. Okay. So. The next one is Full Metal Alchemist.
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
Doug's turn to feel weird.
After their mother dies, young brothers Edward and Alphonse Alaric, attempt to bring her back using alchemy. However, the equivalent exchange dictates that to gain something of equal value must be lost. The brothers fail to bring her back and pay a horrific price. Edward loses his left leg, and Alphonse's body is permanently bound to a giant suit of armor. Whoa!
Dang.
Doug.
Well, technically, they're the Elric brothers, and Edward loses both an arm and a leg. And, you know, I wasn't fully paying attention there, but Al loses his whole body.
I can well technically that, just to throw that out there. Okay, well, technically, I agree with what Doug says, but he initially only loses one limb. He loses the other limb, bringing Alphonse back into that suit of armor.
That is correct.
So then,
yes.
Wait, so then everything she said is correct then? Where's the lie, other than the getting the name wrong?
Didn't you just say that he had lost, I don't remember already, what was the exact prompt at the end?
You need to correct her, not me.
Well, yeah,
no.
Go ahead, please.
Okay, the ending prompt is Edward loses his left leg and Alphonse's body is permanently bound to a giant suit of armor.
Well, technically it's not permanent.
Adam's correct because he does get his body back.
Eventually.
So the thing that is wrong is the Alphonse's body is permanently bound to the giant suit of armor. what
a permanent part?
Well, it's no, that, it's that wasn't a result of the attempt at human.
There we go.
Whatever. That was he lost that trying to pull this off. That the next step after that was Edward was, you know, kind of willing to sacrifice a second part of himself to bring Al back into the armor. So it's kind of a two-step process. So
correct.
Al lost his body trying to bring their mom back. Separately, Ed lost yet another limb bringing Al back into the suit of armor.
Tony, are you tracking all this?
I should get the point because the name thing.
I'm on Grindr right now.
I was so ready for
it. I did not give Adam the point for the mispronunciation of the Dobby. So the fact that I don't know the show well enough to pronounce the last name, I apologize that I can't say it right, but no, that was not what was incorrect, because the name at least is spelled correctly. I just didn't know how to pronounce it.
So no one gets points?
No, Kevin gets a point, because Kevin was very, very
Charlie,
much.
Charlie doesn't get to sleep in his house tonight.
I was going to say.
No. Nope.
Well, we got more questions.
We got more questions.
Do we? Are you sure about that?
I don't know.
That's
that.
Not why.
All right. The next one is about Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic was originally supposed to lead a rock band that appeared in the game's sound test. The band included Sharps the Parakeet on guitar, Max the Monkey on bass, Mock the Rabbit on drums, and Vector the Crocodile on keyboards. Sadly, they were all removed from the gaming franchise, but they eventually appeared years later in various comic book adaptations. Oh, okay. Adam.
Well, technically, Vector the Crocodile shows up in the games.
Do you know which game he
Knuckles
comes back
Chaotix.
In? Wow, yes, that is correct. Nicely done. Anyone else want to comment?
Finally, one I just knew.
No, I knew it, just not as fast.
I'm going to assert myself technically rights.
All right, that brings us to our next variant question. This one is called, Whoa, Slow Down. These are all sound clips of a TV theme song played at half speed. There are six different sound clips. Yeah, just write them down, and so I'll give people time to listen. They're not very long clips. Okay. Let's go in order of buzzing in. Let's just go that way. Kevin, what is your order?
Well, technically, we have at number one, and yet I choose to.
That first, is fine.
We have Game of Thrones. Number two, I have Futurama. Number three, X-Files. Number four, Law and Order. Number five, 30 Rock. And number six, Monty Python.
Yes. Okay.
Technically.
Okay, who is next?
I just wanted to hit the enter key to prove that I actually had those.
Are not just going to copy.
Oh, that's a fair point.
So, yeah, I don't know any of these.
I mean, I believe you. I trust you that you're going to say, did you have them all the same ones?
Oh, me?
Doug, did you say you had all of them?
No, oh, I just have what typing. I dropped in the chat. Oh, no. I don't. The other thing,
well, you should say them aloud and then have joke guesses.
Number three is X-Files, four is Law and Order, and six is Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Okay. Next one
three is The X-Files.
Ah, okay. Paul, you want to see what you got?
Technically, yeah. I don't have any chat. I don't have any chat proof, but I have the exact same list as Kevin.
Okay, I trust you.
Technically, correction of Monty Python's Flying Circus and the discorrection of not having written the X Files down on my page.
Okay, who's next? We have Tony.
Well, technically, number one is Game of Thrones, number two is Doctor Who. Number three is X-Files. Number four is Law and Order. Number five is 30 Rock. And number six is Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
It would be a better show with that song.
Different vibes at the beginning, yeah.
I had yes.
Like a little Sousa march.
I was like, what are people watching?
And then Charlie.
Okay, I was embarrassed when Kevin got all of these. And then I was like, oh, darn, he was right. All right. But I will say, well, technically, number one is Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon. Number two, ooh, I guess, Alias, although I clearly, as soon as Kevin said it, I was like, damn, I should have gotten that one. Three is The X-Files. Four, I also should have gotten, but I said Homicide, but it was okay. Anyway, then 30 Rock for five, and then six Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Okay. Well,
technically, I think it's Homicide Life on the Street.
It is, but I knew it was wrong anyway, so why be pedantic with my wrong answer?
That's the whole point of this game.
Fair.
Yeah, I was
gonna
say,
fair. Actually, you're right.
That's Futurama.
Ron, what was number two?
No, I can hear it. When he said it, I could hear
the bells. Yeah, I was like, what have I heard?
How come
bells
I don't get to go?
Adam, go ahead.
Number one is 24. Two is Breaking Bad. Three is The X-Files. Four, I wrote L&O, which means Law and Order. Five is Gilligan's Island 2, Ginger's Revenge. And six is Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Ginger's Revenge. So number five was throwing me for a loop. Like, I just like was like, I know this. And it wasn't until I unmuted and then kind of played it in my head that it clicked.
I was sure it was Archer for a while before finally realizing what it was.
Well, what? On that point, well, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Kevin, what did you say for number two?
Number two, I said Futurama. Were we just talking about five a second ago, though?
Yes. For some reason, I got it in my head that wasn't what you said, and I was like, I didn't want to steal any valor, so I needed
to make sure that I understand that. So keep me honest.
That is what I also said, yes.
So since Paul and Kevin got all of them right, they both get a point.
Woo!
Yay!
So,
I'm on the board! Yeah, yeah!
All right, so we have two more questions.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Are there any
one of the last two?
No, I just wondered what good hotels would be for Charlie to stay in tonight.
Pull up Google Maps real quick.
All right, so we have one.
It says here it's the underpass.
It's not even that cold, right?
Yeah, it's pretty. It's unseasonably warm right now. I think I'll be fine.
All right, so we have one more question because I added the question about Frasier for Tony. So we have one more regular question, and
so
then
just
one
so
more
clear,
final
the heated
question.
Rivalry question was already in there.
Yes, it was.
Love oh my it. God.
All right. Fantastic.
Wow.
That's great. Amazing.
All right. This
oh,
question.
I gotta switch to the buzzer. All right.
Okay. This question is about Discworld.
Wait, there's only one question left?
There's two questions left.
Oh, okay. 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 Got it.
Yeah. Because I added a question about Frasier because I found out Tony was going to be here. So I made sure that I added a Frasier question in there.
And then I got it wrong.
Sorry, Adam
Doctor
got the
Who
Doctor
Who
question.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Doug yeah. got Full of Metal Alchemist. Not quite right. It's just, it's been a wash for everyone not using ChatGPT over there, Kevin.
Yeah, that's fair read.
Okay. So Discworld. The disc is a flat world balanced on the backs of four giant elephants, which in turn stand on the shell of the great Ao, a world-sized turtle swimming through space. Characters in Discworld do not travel in cardinal directions. Rather, they travel hubward, rimward, turnwise, and widdershins. Hello, whoa. Paul.
Well, technically, it's a tortoise?
I mean, maybe... That's not what I have. If it is a tortoise, then I apologize.
I'm just going to play. I'm playing the game now, you know.
All right. There we go. Two questions left. All right. Doug.
Well, technically, it's turtles all the way down.
Well, no, it is giant elephants.
Well, beneath that, it's turtles all the way down.
I thought it's just one turtle.
He's just
space.
Making a...
Oh, okay. You said it with such conviction that I was like, am I wrong?
No, I had absolutely no idea. I don't even know what Discworld is, basically.
All right, so then that goes to Adam.
Well, technically, the great turtle tortoise, let's not quibble, is not named Ao, it's named Atuin.
That is correct. Yes. Nicely done. I wasn't sure if that was going to be too easy for you or not.
I will take it after some of the ones that you were like, the thing you guys don't know is that she went into this going, I'm a little concerned you're just going to walk away with this entire game. And yeah. How long did it take me to even get on the board?
Yeah,
that does make me feel better.
Well designed. Yeah,
we were all kind of excited too that you didn't get out earlier.
We have a side chat going, just kind of talking yeah, you specifically. Yeah.
Oh, great. All my worst fears come true.
Realized. That is actually.
All right.
That would be true.
All right. So the scores going into the final question
are... the final question worth any more points than normal, or is it just an additional question?
Okay, it's just the final question.
Oh, thank God.
It's just 1 point.
So Charlie doesn't have a chance at sleeping.
No. Right. No, Charlie does not get to sleep in his house tonight.
Great job. We won.
It gonna be...
We did it.
We did
introducing
it, no.
Charlie's kids to their new non-binary parent. To me.
We did it, Joe.
All right. Okay, so going into the last question, we have Adam with 5, Charlie with 3, Paul, Doug, and Tony with 1 point each, and Kevin with 6.
Wait, I didn't realize, okay, again? There's a still chance to tie it up.
There is a chance to tie it.
Can you do those scores in like an order of score?
Oh, so Paul, Doug, and Tony have 1 point.
Okay.
Charlie has 3 points. Adam has 5 points.
Beating Charlie. That's all I need.
I'm happy I got
and
some points.
Kevin has... And Kevin has 6 points.
In the event of a tie, do me and Adam both move into Charlie's house?
I think we share parental
it's
rights.
Like 50%. Okay. Like it.
So don't buzz in, anybody. I got to teach these kids about Doctor Who.
When you said, I need to teach these kids and started with a D, I thought you were going to say diarrhea.
Oh, they know about diarrhea.
I'm going to teach you about all the ways to say diarrhea.
Oh, the hardest one is second. First, third, and home, easy. Second, you got to work on that one.
Second, yeah.
But sorry, I don't follow that joke. I thought it was going to be like, we already had first diarrheas, but what about second diarrheas? What did I miss in that?
I like that too.
Yeah, okay.
No, when you're sliding into first and you feel a little burst, diarrhea.
Oh, this is new to me. I don't think I grew up with that particular.
What? When you're sliding into third and you feel a juicy turd diarrhea.
When
you're driving in your Chevy and you're feeling something heavy?
No, so when you're driving in your buggy and you feel something muggy? I don't remember what it was, but definitely no base analogies for me. That changes a lot of conversations in retrospect.
When you're rounding third, and when you're sliding into home and you feel a little foam diarrhea.
Oh. Nope. See this? I missed this. Yeah. I learned something.
But second, I don't know what second. I don't know what rhymes with second.
I don't think I ever learned.
Turns out this is what the last question
in Little
is about.
League, but I don't think we had a
second. I know, right?
The third topic was diarrhea.
Let me ask Gemini.
Did we talk about this on Shenaniganza and Tombstone?
Probably.
Yeah, we certainly, it was probably doesn't stand out because we were talking about diarrhea the entire time.
Yeah. When you're sliding into second and your pants are getting reckoned, that's what Gemini is suggesting. Yeah.
It's all we got. But.
You know.
I'm sorry. Was there a question at some point?
Yeah, sorry.
Yes. All right. So the final question is about televisions.
I understand that reference.
You guys can hear my finger clicking already. Just.
Oh.
Oh my goodness. The world's most expensive TV is the Prestige HD Supreme Rose Edition that costs approximately $2.26 million. It is considered to be the most elite television with its 8K Ultra HD resolution, transparent screen, and its ability to retract into its base when not in use. Whoa! Kevin.
It's, technically, it's not 8K, it's 16K.
That is not correct, no.
Damn, okay.
Paul?
Technically, it doesn't retract into its base. It's rolled out onto the wall.
No, good guess, though. Adam?
Technically, it is not the world's most expensive TV. The world's most expensive TV is Frank's 2,000-inch TV, as memorialized in the famous folk song.
America's original troubadour.
That's also another Shenaniganza callback.
Oops, all Shenaniganza.
Okay, Doug.
Well, technically, I wasn't going to get another chance to buzz in, so I just wanted to buzz in for the sake of buzzing in.
Okay. Do you want to give it a shot?
Sure. Technically, it's not the Rose Edition. It's the Gold Edition.
Nice guess. That is not correct, but that was a good alternate. Okay. Charlie.
Technically, it is much more expensive than the price you gave.
Based on my research, that is the actual price.
Boop, 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 boop.
Okay. Tony, do you want to give a shot or Adam? Okay.
No, I'm good. I like listening to everybody.
Okay.
I'm just here.
Adam, you are booping.
All good game show contestants, I'm here to listen to other people answer.
It's my turn to sit down and list.
I would be so bad on Family Feud. No, you guys are doing great.
Adam, did you actually have something or you just wanted to say boop?
No, I did actually have something.
Okay.
Well, technically, the most expensive TV is The Friends We Made Along the Way.
Aww.
And
one of those friends includes the limited time flavor Lay's Salted Caramel flavored with other natural flavors brand potato chips.
I'm starting to think this is actually sponsored.
It's the taste of a new generation.
No, you know the slogan. The taste of a new generation.
That makes me feel old.
So, okay, anybody else want to hazard a guess? Or because I have a feeling like Kevin and Paul were kind of dancing around it, but I don't think that you guys are going to get it.
Tiebreaker between Paul and Kevin.
The most expensive TV is a 480 CRT.
Hey, you know, maybe they just never updated the price.
I mean, yeah, inflation-adjusted dollars, you know.
Well, technically, the most expensive TV is the one I just put on eBay for $10 billion.
I take it you've heard of Insignia.
Oh, somebody did the buy it now, huh?
I just want to hear Paul say retract into the base again.
Oh, God. That just happened the second you said it.
So while each one of those things that I mentioned, the HK Ultra HD transparent screen and ability to retract, are features of other televisions, they are not the features of the Prestige HD. Why the Prestige HD Supreme Rose Edition costs approximately $2.26 million is because of the frame that it's in. It is crafted from 28 kilograms of 18 karat rose gold and encrusted with 72 brilliant cut diamonds.
Hey, I said it was gold.
You did. You were gold. Actually, yes. You did.
I think that's but you didn't
cover. Well, the title is still the Rose Edition, though.
I almost said Rose Gold Edition.
I think we take Charlie's points away and give them to Doug.
So I was told that Charlie was the expert on televisions.
What?
I believe we have text message proof. Confirmation of that. Yeah. Give me a sec.
I would have thought Paul, just because of all the televisions at Paul's house.
That's true.
Or would it be couches?
I think my TV count is pretty good.
I believe it's when I first asked Adam to ask you all about what your, like, what you consider to be your strongest fandoms.
Yeah, I mean, what I have from Charlie is fairly broad range of movie and TV knowledge, maybe skewing more recent. And then I responded, what are your top five favorite TVs? So I assumed that was me. Yes. And then had to explain the joke after Adam answered with all of his actual favorite TV shows. Which...
Oh, no, I got the joke.
Good. Yeah, so I'm glad it played. Yeah.
It wasn't lost.
No. One of you responded with, yeah, there it is. No.
Paul, I thought Paul wrote all of the actual televisions.
Someone started a list with a lot of question marks in there.
I think
that is Doug.
Doug said Sony Trinitron, Sharp Aquos.
I think this may be... Oh, and here we go.
I listed the model down. Numbers yeah. of my favorite TVs that
yeah,
are that
Paul
I have.
A big list in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sony Trinitron, JVC IR, a couple different Toshibas, and this the Samsung GX gaming TV.
Look, I think it's hilarious that Brianne thought she was throwing Charlie a bone so he could live in his house, and it didn't work.
Good job, Brianne.
So what are the final scores?
All right, the final scores are Paul, Doug, and Tony, each with 1 point. Charlie with 3 points. Adam with 5 points. And Kevin is our winner, who gets to live in Charlie's house with 6 points.
Finally, after all this time.
He just wants to get to the squirrel graveyard.
I guess I could take it as a compliment that everybody wants to live with my family. I guess, right?
Whoa. Very coveted. Your family's not part of the deal. It's just your house.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
I can't wait till Kevin just walks in and he's got his Bluetooth going and all the things she said by tattoo is just.
In my head, he's pulling like a little wheelie suitcase.
All the things she said, all the things she said, run through.
And he, like, as he lifts his sunglasses up off his head.
This is not enough. Your family is not enough. I must have out.
This was fun. Thank you very much for setting this up. This was fantastic.
Yeah,
it
was great.
Fantastic, Brianne.
Yeah, I had a blast.
Well, thank you. And yeah.
Even though I got the Frasier thing wrong and was kind of upset for like 2 seconds.
Well, I mean, if this is something you guys like, I mean, I can't do it all the time, obviously, because I mean, this took me a while to set up, but I would love to come back and do another round of this.
Researchers.
Yeah.
Maybe have Celeste do a question.
There we go.
Oh, I'm sure there's lots of questions she could, rattle off.
I'm kind
like
of a
that.
Dog man expert these days. So,
oh, yeah.
A dogman?
Dogman. Vince Dogman.
I'm a Dogman guy right now.
I'm really in a Dogman right now. Well, thanks everyone for participating in this hopefully inaugural edition of Well Technically. And thanks once again to our very special host, Brianne Gobeski.
Thank you very much. And if anyone is interested, I don't know if I can plug another show.
You can.
But this way I give them credit. The show this is about is similar to, is called Actually. If you are on Dropout, it falls very similar to this same format, but it's been really enjoyable to like listen to it. And I just wanted to be able to participate myself, which is why I wanted to create this for you guys. So if you are interested and want to continue with your fandom knowledge and to watch more of this, it is on Dropout streaming service called Actually.
All right.
Wait, hold on. There is a streaming service called Dropout.
Correct. Yeah.
It's actually pretty good, to be completely honest.
It's about all I watch right now.
I thought this was like a, you know how there's like segments on like, I think you should leave. I thought that's what you were, you know, describing. Something like that. Like it was a show called Dropout and this was like a thing that they did on it.
Yeah. It's a streaming service called Dropout. Do you remember College Humor?
Yes.
I'm aware of it, but I, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So Dropout is what College Humor became Dropout. And it's now, I think it's like, I think it's like what, $5 a month or something like that for this streaming show.
I think it's like $7.
Is it $7 a month? Even still, it's, and it is full of hilarity and really awesome content. I've kind of become addicted to it, but this show in particularly, Actually is in that whole series. I think there's what, 7 seasons of this.
If you've ever seen clips on Instagram or TikTok or whatever from Game Changer or Make Some Noise, that's from Dropout.
Yeah,
this sounds almost, Tony, as good, we watched Lay's salted caramel chips.
I mean, I was gonna say, Tony and Paul, this was what we were watching, like a compilation of clips from when you guys were here for Shenaniganza, and so like I looked into it more and went, oh, I can pay like $7 to see all of it usually, and I did, and I am very happy I did that.
That's awesome.
All right, well, thanks again, Brianne, and thanks everyone else for participating. My name was Adam, still is Adam Gobeski.
My name is Charlie Wallace, and we had Paul Wilcox with us.
Well, technically, that is true.
Kevin Vredevoog.
Hey, it's been fantastic.
And he didn't say, well, technically, take his points away.
Yes, I get to wait. No, I don't get to
the winner goes to the bottom.
Still, you are not even the runner up to your own house.
So what's new? And Doug Gobeski.
Well, technically, my name is Zio Flonkius or whatever. But thank you.
Can I get a Flargon style?
Did you do
and Tony Huff?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, technically, it's been fantastic.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. Make sure to check out GobeskiWallaceReport.com.
We've got lots of exciting opportunities for you to entertain yourself there.
Oh, I thought you were talking about job opportunities.
The job opportunities we have don't pay, so they're really more of unpaid internships. And you can follow us on Twitter, @GWReport, and you can like us on Facebook. So if you're looking for an internship, talk to Charlie.
An unpaid internship that gives no letter of recommendation. Just the satisfaction of a job well done.
But you can stay at Charlie's house.
All right.
As we're clicking it, should we all just go like boop, and then you can replace it with the real sound later?
No.
Would that be helpful?
That sounds like a nightmare. That sounds like a pure nightmare.
We should do that. Oh, then. Yeah,
for him, fun. Maybe. Yeah.